Welcome to the Deconstruction Podcast. This is the podcast where we seek to deconstruct the narratives that define our lives in order to find the common humanity in all of us. We explore the intersection of psychology, spirituality, and society as a way to try to navigate the current geopolitical climate in a healthy and informed way. Here we also hope to explore the mechanisms of change within ourselves in order to experience life a little more fully. I'm your host, Rachel Spiker. As we begin, I want to invite you to take a moment to pause and tune into your environment. I currently am living on the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Sioux and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, and I want to slow down in order to honor the people who tended to and cared for this land for thousands of years, and invite you to be more aware of where you are as well. And now, I want to invite you to pull that awareness into yourself, noticing how it is that you are feeling at this moment. I can notice I feel a sense of delight in my chest and warm gratitude to be holding your awareness. However you are arriving, I hope that my voice can be with you throughout the course of this episode. Thank you so much for going on this journey with me. In today's episode, I am joined by Zara Newcomb. Through her wisdom and expertise, we engage in a captivating conversation exploring the transformative modality of accelerated experiential dynamic psychotherapy, also known as AEDP. Based out of Kelowna, BC, Zara is a dedicated psychotherapist whose practice centers around relational and somatic approaches. With a focus on facilitating deeper connection to one's body, accessing innate wholeness, and privileging lived experience, Zara's work embodies a commitment to holistic relational healing. In this episode, Zara shares her personal journey to AEDP and how it has become her clinical home, offering insights into its depathologizing framework and emphasis on the inherent healing capacities within each individual. Throughout the discussion, we touch upon themes such as embracing the unfelt, navigating the intensity of healing, and reorienting towards the experience of embodiment. I know personally I was incredibly moved by this conversation and felt more in tune with myself afterwards. And I hope that each of you are able to feel into something useful as well. Enjoy. Hello, Zara, welcome. I'm so delighted to have you here. I think that the gift of your wisdom, your presence, and your time feels really good to me in this moment. And I'm just excited to see where this conversation takes us and hold space for your wisdom to really get to be shared with my listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rachel, thank you so much. I'm like delighted and overjoyed to be able to be in this space with you. And I think there's like in true AEDP fashion, there's this real like bubbling excitement energy that's coursing through my body. And I'm just, yeah, noticing what it feels like to be on the precipice of having a conversation with you. And it feels really nourishing and exciting.
As you can see, my face is like shining with delight. I feel the bubbling as well. I'm like,
yeah,
it's real.
Super present. I'm like, yeah, very somatic in this moment. I'm excited.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. And I heard you mention AEDP, and that's why I'm feeling so excited for you to be on this podcast so my listeners can hear a little bit about the modality that is AEDP. As I mention it a lot, and I feel like having somebody who's well trained in it to share just the working structure of it, the modality, how it works in therapy, it feels exciting to be able to share that. And so kind of want to open this up with a big question about you, your journey, and how you landed on AEDP as a modality.
Yeah. Gosh, I think, yeah, I just feel like there's like so many parts of me that want to speak in this moment. But I think I came to therapy through my own we could call it individuation. We could call it my own healing journey. I had, and I guess I just want to name as I was prepping to be here with you, I was really sitting with like the levels of vulnerability that I wanted to share. And I think as a therapist in our work, we're often trained to be very conscious about how we disclose and how we self-disclose. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about ADP is it really invites the therapist and their self into the space and into the room. And so that was part of my intention today as I was connecting and getting ready. It's like, I want to also share myself vulnerably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I came to ADP through my own, I want to call it like initiation, and what that looked like was struggling with an eating disorder for about 15 years. And in that process, like it was, as I moved through it and connected to the layers of myself that I had left behind, it was a call to connect deeper to myself and to my path and my passions and the things that really lit me up. And of course, when you're in the throes of something like that, you don't necessarily see the gifts. It's just like the anguish and the pain and why is this happening to me? And these sort of, experiences that anyone who's moved through, mental health issues knows intimately. And through that process of kind of healing my relationship with my body and food, I discovered that I wanted to do this work with other people and I think women specifically. And that led me to a degree in nutrition and holding retreats with a dear friend and colleague that centered this sort of transformative process of like meeting ourself through our relationship with food and body. And I realized quite quickly that my, like the avenue through nutrition was something that was so nourishing and important to me, and food felt so nourishing and important to me, but it wasn't the whole picture. And I just felt hungry and like felt like I was bumping up against my, this sort of glass ceiling. And it just kind of hit me as I was actually walking in Kelowna, in my hometown, or not my hometown, but the place that I call home now. And it was like, I think there is more for you here. And might look like psychotherapy. What would that look like if I pursued that path? And as I've noticed in my life, when you kind of click into connection with like your, call it soul, call it core self, things start to just unfold. And that's what happened with deciding to pursue more education in psychotherapy. And that's also what happened with ADP. And it was in grad school that a friend shared a podcast, Other People's Problems. I'm sure many people are aware of it. And listening to Hillary McBride in her work with clients. And it just, there was something in my body that was like, oh, this is like, this feels big. Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm almost like noting some emotion that's coming up as I say that. And I think it's because of the relational quality of the model, and that felt so important to me in my own experiences, like these moments of missing that relational attunement. And so hearing how that could play out in the safety and containment of the therapy room was like, I was like, okay, this feels like a place that I want to pursue, or I want to learn more about it. Like all my curiosity and everything was just sparked. And fast forward to my first ADP training, our facilitator mentioned in his introduction, he was like, you know, when I first discovered ADP, it felt like a clinical home. And he put words to something that I was like, how do I name this? How do I name this kind of excitement or like the rightness of this? And I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly it. It's a clinical home. It's like the foundation. And and so I feel like that's where I'm at now in my career, is just ADP has been this like nest for my own individual work, but also this work, my work with my clients. And there's other modalities that I love and use, but it's like, it always comes back to me to this like relational dynamic, the dyadic interplay between therapist and client, and just the transformative beauty of that relational space. It's like an overview of the trail of breadcrumbs, as you can say. Like there's like a mythology in my mind right now of walking away through the woods, and ADP felt like that to me.
Yeah. I just want to slow down and take in the beauty of the answer you just shared as the emotion showed up and I could see it viscerally playing out in your body and feeling like my whole body opened up and I could feel goosebumps on my chest being like, this is so sacred to get to be in that space as you were showing up with such a profound humanness. And I was so struck by how you started this answer by saying the initiation of the relationship with food and yourself and your body, and the way you're able to change that from being this pathologizing struggle, traumatizing battle that you had to like wage war against. It became like this sacred ritual, this rite of how you reconnected with parts of yourself that led to transformation. And so thank you for sharing the vulnerability of that with everyone who's listening. And I'm curious for people listening if they want to check in how they're feeling at this moment, because I'm noticing if I didn't know what AEDP is, I think I'd be bubbling with like, so what is this modality that has become a clinical home and a nest for you to experience all of these profound moments in? And so I'm curious if you can share a little bit about what AEDP is as a modality, because I think right now as mental health is coming into the collective conscious awareness in a really accessible way, I think that we've never experienced before, there is an abundance of information and modalities and pop psychology information for people to have to kind of sort through and understand and make sense of. And so if we could just offer them like, here's one modality, here's what it is, here's what it looks like, here's whatever feels important for you to share. I wonder if you can offer that.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with AEDP is an acronym for Accelerated Experiential Dynamic Psychotherapy. And it was developed by an incredible woman, a pioneer in the field, Diana Focia. And she discovered through her clinical work, and I don't know the whole backstory, so I'm not going to go too deep into that, but through her own clinical work that and I guess it was able to name that this unbelievable transformative capacity of each human being, and that we are all through our neurobiology and other levels of systemic ways of being wired to heal, wired to transform, wired for goodness and rightness. And when given the right conditions, that emerges naturally through every human being. And so ADP to me is about creating the conditions for this manifestation of healing and transformation to occur. And the vehicle for that is like, without becoming too technical, but it's about the therapeutic relationship between the client and the therapist. And that's based in attachment theory and interpersonal neurobiology, which is the, I guess the central tenet of that is that our nervous systems are wired deeply for relationship. Mm-hmm. And when we are left alone in trauma or major life events, that we develop these really powerful defense mechanisms. And these defensive mechanisms are there for our survival. They're there for our safety. But over time, they actually limit our freedom and our ability to show up wholly and authentically in our lives. And so ADP is this process of getting to know these defensive structures, these defenses, and through the therapeutic relationship, creating safety in order to move through those things and feel into the emotional states that we hadn't allowed ourselves to feel or that we couldn't feel because of aloneness at the time of the pain. And through moving through those feelings, through transforming those feelings, we then connect deeper to what Diana Fosha calls the neurobiological core self, which is this state of aliveness, deep connection, compassion, wholeness, if you will, if you want to use that word, and true, like, authenticity. And so ADP, to me, is, I guess, the thing that I love about it or feel called to say in this moment is that it is primarily a depathologizing model. It's like it is not focused on what is wrong or how somebody is, like, quote, broken, but it is focused on our healing capacity, our potential, and that this spark of aliveness is inherent to every single human being.
I think what's coming to me as I'm listening to you talk about this is really similar. The fact that this is turning away from what's wrong with us and towards what's actually right. And that's what I hear you talking about with these defenses that had to develop in order to survive these overwhelming circumstances. And I think that's such an important tenet to pull out and maybe highlight a little bit, because I think we live in such a stigmatizing world that's like, here's what's wrong with you, let's change it. Like, I even had this thought about New Year resolutions. Like, what do I need to improve about myself? What do I need to do better? And hearing you talk about the way AEDP looks at these defenses as actually really helping us survive and then renegotiating our relationship outside the environment they had to grow in.
Yeah.
And seeing how we can maybe soften the way they show up. I'm going to pause there. I want to hear if you can talk a little bit more about the depathologizing that AEDP strives to accomplish.
I think what I have noticed, and I'm sure any psychotherapist can attest to that, is that when clients or any human has experienced trauma, there is often this like deep wiring of wrongness or badness or shame. And I guess we can talk a little bit about how some of that came to be, but it's in the context of an attachment relationship with a child and a parent. If a child is being neglected or abused in some capacity, or even just not emotionally attuned to, it is a survival strategy to put that rupture, I suppose, back onto the self in the way of, like, I deserved this, or I must be bad in order for this to happen to me. Because if I hold that my caregiver or the person that provides safety and support is actually harming me, then that would be absolutely shattering to this tiny soul, this tiny self that actually requires that person to take care of them. And so with people who've experienced that, that sort of I'm wrong or this pathologizing core is quite inherent or like quite present. And so with ADP, it's like we work to undo that aloneness, that core belief, that negative schema, and hold that belief system that was developed at that time was actually completely necessary in order to survive something that was overwhelming, like you said, or unsurvivable to this core self. And that's like the first step. It's like the ADP works what we call like a four-step model, but the first layer is actually working with the symptoms, so the reason why that person came into therapy. And then the second step is working with those defenses, like the parts of the self that were necessary in order to survive what was unsurvivable. And that's it's almost like allowing the client to see through the therapeutic relationship and through the therapist's appraisal of those defenses. It's like, you actually aren't bad. You actually aren't broken. Those things were necessary in order to move through what you had to move through. And can we, for a moment, like bring some gratitude and compassion to your very aliveness, because if you didn't want to survive, then you wouldn't have those things. But the very by nature of those being present, it to me is an indicator of this human being's deep desire to survive and to mm-hmm. be in the world. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is like the sort of the beginning of the depathologizing stance. It's like everything that you are is actually what's right with you, because you needed yeah. to have those things in order to live through your life up until this point.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of listeners who might be hearing something to this effect for the first time. Like, everything that you are is proof of your rightness.
Yeah.
And wanting to let that sink in and thinking of the gift that the people you sit with and you work through get to maybe hear a different or experience a different reflection of themselves, where they saw the mirror of wrongness because they had to from such a young age in order to make sense of the circumstances that were unfortunate and painful, and to encounter you and be like, oh, I'm so glad you did that. It's kind of like the language I'm hearing. I'm so glad your body was able to survive in this way and adapt so that you could get through
yeah.
what was really overwhelming and scary and lonely.
Yeah.
I feel my yeah. whole body be like falling with relief that this is becoming accessible to people to experience something new that can undo such profound shame and loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting just as I'm sitting here receiving what you were saying, like hearing you say like, oh, I'm so glad you did that. Like something happened in my whole system that I think is part of ADP. It's like when someone acknowledges something in you and sees your goodness, yeah. it's so transformative. It's so powerful. And like the emotions back again, I'm full of it today. We're just gonna ride that wave. Yeah, it's so powerful to have someone see you and see yeah. something in you that perhaps you've compartmentalized or named as bad or wrong or tragic or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we can go into the transformative power of seeing somebody differently, and maybe you can talk through the lens of AEDP on why that matters, why we need to have those encounters, and what happens in us when somebody sees us maybe more truthfully or accurately, and what that does to our own internal working model of self.
I think that's such a powerful question. Like what happens when someone sees us differently? Mm-hmm. And I think the ADP therapist is trained to be looking for those, what we call glimmers of transformance, or sort of these moments of the client connecting to something they haven't connected to before, allowing themselves to get in touch with content that has been walled away. And so and that's done through what we call moment-to-moment tracking, which is actually quite an active process. I think this is one of the things that I didn't maybe buckle up for when I started my ADP training, was that as a therapist who uses ADP, it's such a active and engaged experience for the therapist. I mean, for the client as well, but we are trained to track like the flickers of eye movement and the tiniest shifts in body language, and to constantly be tracking moment to moment to be on the lookout for these glimmers of transformance. And when those can be brought into the therapeutic space, like when the therapist sees something in the client that and acknowledges it and says like, oh, hey, I noticed that something just happened there. Mm-hmm. I noticed that your face changed when you said that thing about your dad. Can we notice that? And then that brings the client into awareness that's like, oh, that person is seeing me. That person is attuned to me. And that in and itself, I think, is a transformative experience, because when we think about clients that come to us, they often have a long history of not feeling seen, mm-hmm. not feeling known, mm-hmm. Having these ruptures or these traumas of omission, which is like what was needed wasn't there, yeah. or traumas of commission, which is like, you know, these experiences where there was abuse and like outward incidences. And so it's like, corrective.
Mm-hmm.
deeply corrective to have a different experience where they can be vulnerable, they can be in touch with their emotional states, and have someone say, I see you. This is okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. I am not afraid of this. I want to feel this with you. I think for me, like, just to kind of bring in some vulnerability for a moment, like, that was really hard for me in the beginning of my training. And I noticed, like, the first couple of days when you do ADP training, there's a lot of tape review, like taped sessions. And I noticed, like, when the client when the client was in this like really intense, emotional, painful experience, I was like right up against the computer screen and I was so in it. But then the second that shifted into like more like meta processing or like, can we talk about what just happened there? I noticed my own attachment system kind of come offline. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful and such an incredible thing to notice, because it was like, yeah. Oh, wow, I'm touching into something actually that happened in me when someone did or didn't attune to my experience. And I think that's part of the beauty of ADP, because it also allows us as therapists to heal as well through mm-hmm. the process of being with our clients in those spaces.
As you're talking, what's coming to me is Thomas Hubel talks about how children are actualized in the gaze of their parents. And so we know from an attachment perspective that the way that we have this dyadic interpersonal relationship actually shapes in our own internal narrative of self how we know how to show up in the world, full stop, the good and the bad. And so I'm feeling that, like, again, relief that your clients are experiencing this corrective relational encounter where you are seeing them and able to stay connected with their experience in such a way that they get to relearn all of the ways that relationships get to feel safe, get to feel transformative, get to feel nurturing and expansive, mm-hmm. and really feeling the power of AEDP as I'm hearing you talk about why it is what it is as a modality. And as you moved into the more vulnerable aspects of the requirement of an AEDP therapist, I think that unlike a lot of modalities that are maybe a little bit more disengaged, more blank slate perspectives that can take out the relational engagement as an aspect of the therapeutic dyad, AEDP requires you to be doing your own work, it sounds like, where you need to be the moment-to-moment tracking requires a sense of internal capacity to be like, what am I feeling in this moment as well? What am I bringing into this space? And hearing the way you are looking for those moments within yourself to be able to change and heal in real time is so good and inspiring. Like, it makes me feel so delighted that you're a therapist doing this work, because you are a therapist who's doing your work. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that humanist that you bring into the session, the you that gets to exist as a being in the room in the AEDP lens.
And firstly, just thank you for that acknowledgement. I appreciate that and feel the same about you. And also want to extend just a moment of thank you to all the teachers that I've had. Like, it as we discussed kind of at the beginning, when this kind of came into my consciousness about being a therapist, it also wonderfully brought me in contact with these incredible women and psychotherapists that have been in the field. And I think that just feels so important to say, like, we are a culmination of the people that we have learned from. So just sending a little thank you to all the trainers and the teachers and the people that I've learned from.
Yes. I feel like that's my essence I want to bring with the podcast is when I was a poor grad student and a poor student and, you know, I couldn't afford therapy and all these barriers, like there was podcasts with Hillary McBride or Diana Fosha that were able to ignite something in me that I didn't have access to before, whether that's inspiration or creativity or this clicking of a knowing that was able to help create a new pathway for me. Yeah. And so I want to echo that gratitude for the labor that the women before us had to do to bring forth the life of what we have access to.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful.
Yes. Yes. Likewise. Yeah. There, I think my mind is of two spaces right now. One train of thought is like, oh, can we talk about like the clinical implications of that? And what happens when we model corrective attachment experiences? Like there's like that sort of clinical train. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other part of me that feels like it's maybe more in my heart. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could talk about both, but mm-hmm. I think the heart in me is constantly moved by the bravery and courage of people who show up to their healing work. To be a witness to that as a therapist feels like the privilege of a lifetime.
Sacred.
And so the human me in those moments, I think, I mean, of course it's not always there, and we are also human and we come to the space in different phases of our lives and with different things going on. But I think the foundation of that for me is like my, I get such joy in seeing the courage and bravery of people show up to that work. Mm-hmm. And I have, it's almost like ADP gives us permission to name that out loud and to tell our people, our clients, that we see that in them. Mm-hmm. And that isn't inauthentic. That's like the truth of how I feel in that moment. And we're not, it's not some Freudian system where we're sitting in the back of the room and our clients aren't even facing us. It's this really relational dynamic where when someone expresses something that moves them, I can also express that it moves me.
Yeah.
And that feels like a permission to be authentic within the therapeutic space. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like I really love that. And then I guess from more of a, like this clinical stream, again, to go kind of go back to attachment theory, we are showing, if we're showing up as attuned and telling our clients how deeply they move us and how much we're with them in their experience, that is also a corrective attachment experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're experiencing an other, a safe other, as a mirror, as a person to walk along their story with them. And some for some people, that is a brand new experience.
Yeah.
And Diana Fosha talks about ADP as being nonlinear, which I think maybe is a good thing to name right now, because sometimes that's actually really hard to receive. And I've noticed that in myself. It's actually sometimes quite hard to receive, especially if we don't have those experiences, somebody being really with you and delighting in your process and emotionally attuned to what's going on. And so sometimes that can be confronting.
Mm-hmm.
And challenging, and shame can come up, and it's like, oh my God, I'm being seen for the first time. Like, what is this? This is too much.
Yeah.
And so ADP also gives room for the human in the therapist and the human in the client to talk about that as well and to move through those things as well. And from a nervous system lens, it is like constantly kind of building off of and towards this felt sense of safety and that interpersonal neurobiology of attachment and connection. And without being the human, I think we wouldn't have access to that because there is something deep in us that can tell if someone is not being like truthful or truly there or present, right? And so I think I also really cherish that part of the client too. Like if they can feel that mm-hmm. that you're not really present as the therapist, that also is an important thing. And so yeah, ADP I think gives permission to really show up fully and wholly and in as much presence as you can kind of muster in that moment, as much humanness as you can muster.
Yeah, I'm hearing how much humanness is actually required. You can't show up disengaged and have the full effect. It sounds like AEDP is possible for harnessing. As you were talking there, I was imagining like the moment-to-moment tracking of like peeling back these layers into little universes. So we had this moment where you moved through this hard emotion and I was there with you and I delighted in it. And now that my presence is here in a new way that's so attuned, that's really intense for you. And so we can go into that. And what is that like? And then you move through that. It's like on the other end of that. Like it just feels like there's so many moments of this potentiality that if the therapist is really connected, they get to like move towards and help the client explore in an experiential way.
Yeah. I love how you're, kind of exploring that and deepening that. And this idea that it's like these little universes, that just is like such a potent image. Cause it's like each moment of like that transformative glimmer is a opening, is a potential to deepen, to explore, to feel the thing that was unfelt, and use that effective processing as the vehicle for this transforming and healing change. I guess I'm going to take that with me. I think that feels so beautiful, like that little universe inside each moment.
Yeah. To find the thing that wasn't felt, feeling what wasn't felt. I like that. Is there any part of AEDP, your experiences of you in working with this modality that feels important to share or bring into the space that we haven't touched on yet?
I think we've explored the, a little bit about how the model operates, the primary assumptions of the model, what it holds as like central to its healing or as a healing modality, as a transforming modality. I think maybe one thing that could be important to explore is this idea that when we feel things that we haven't felt, where we haven't allowed or haven't been safe to feel, or we haven't allowed ourselves to feel, it can be destabilizing. It can be confronting. And the word that we use in ADP is tremulous, because it's like this experience of something new and different that is like bigger or more expansive or fundamentally other than how we've lived our lives or how we've experienced ourselves to date. And it's like, I almost with therapy in general, it's almost like I want to include a disclaimer. That's like, this will change your life. Like prepare yourself.
Yes.
And I think ADP really holds that as central. And I say that as like a honoring and a reverence to the model, but then also as like prepare yourself for that. Because it's like when we are living life fragmented, so to speak, because of our experiences, when we start to open up the psyche and expand our consciousness and our awareness into all of these places that hold pain, one, it asks us to be courageous and brave and to go into those places that are painful. And two, we are a sort of blossoming self, a larger self, if you will. And that is a really big, initiatory, intense experience.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that's something that we need to talk about more as we move out of the ways we've known how to protect ourselves. Like, I'm thinking particularly about dissociation or numbing or disconnecting, and reorientate back to the experience of being a body, re-entering where we're all the place of pain held, but also where our aliveness is. It's disorientating. It's a lot. It's overwhelming. It's new. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more to why we would want to do that, if it sounds scary and potentially destabilizing.
There's two things are coming to mind. And one, it's interesting, just noticing, but one is saying, like, we don't have to. We don't have to do that. And I think it's important to give permission to the parts of ourselves that feel like they need to hold on to their safety.
Yeah.
And if you are in a space in your life where it's actually not safe to go to those places, know that that is so okay and important. Mm-hmm. And also your survival instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, it's like this is what's coming to mind is the a line by the poet Mary Oliver, and she says, "What are you going to do with your one wild and precious life?" And to me, like, getting in touch with our core self, whether that's your soul or your neurobiological core self along the lines of ADP, that is like the gift of this lifetime, because it is our aliveness. It is our purpose. It is our soul calling. It allows us to show up in our lives in fullness and capacity and compassion. And it isn't about saying what happened to me doesn't matter, or that it wasn't that bad. It's not about that at all. It's about connecting to that, like, real resilience that is inherent to all humans, and saying, like, what happened to me is actually such an important thing on my path of life, and it no longer defines my existence. It no longer shapes me. It is part of me, and yet I am a self that can hold all of that, and I can be compassionate towards myself and others. And I can live in a way that feels bigger and more expansive and more alive.
Mm-hmm. I love you starting that with offering agency. Like, you don't actually have to choose to heal any of this. And with the disclaimer that if you are still living in an unsafe environment, that it actually probably is better that we keep the ways our body has protected us intact until there's more safety and stability to begin to undo and take down those protective mechanisms. So, like, full agency of deciding whether or not moving towards the things that need to be felt and unburdened feels good. And then knowing that your sense of aliveness and connection with self in a deeper way, like the core self, the soul, is on the other end of the hard work, as like a invitation pulling you through the intensity, feels so encouraging. And I wonder, what would you say to listeners who are like, I become more aware that maybe how I show up in the world isn't how I want to fully show up for myself. And I want to take that step. And I believe that there's goodness on the other end if I can get there. But the bridge between now and the goodness feels so daunting. Is there any, like, words of encouragement or anything you would feel like good to share that would encourage them through the difficulty or the unfelt spaces within them?
What's coming to mind is actually something from Carl Jung, and he talks about the individuation process as this drive towards wholeness. And so if you are listening to this and you are hearing somewhere deep inside you that there is a curiosity or a wondering or I think this sounds good, but I'm afraid. I feel like that is the whisper of our soul. That is our self-writing potential. That is the innate healing capacity in all of us that is saying there's a thread here. Mm. And the beautiful thing, if anyone who's listening chooses to work with an ADP therapist, the beautiful thing about that process is that it's never about going farther than you feel comfortable with or pushing past those very important defenses unless you're ready. And so it can be a slow unfolding that is very attuned to and conscious of and in deep respect to your fear and the uncertainty and the not knowing. Like it is so important, I think, to honor that lives inside you, and also that there's a deeper call that is saying like there's maybe more here. And so I think it's most things, it's the both and. It's like, can you hold that there is fear and uncertainty while also reaching for the thing that your system is calling you towards?
Yeah, what a beautiful way to invite them to reconnect with their own knowing. Like, oh, this whisper actually has wisdom that's worth listening to. And I heard you mention individuation a few times, which is a Jungian psychoanalytic term regarding moving all of our unconscious material into conscious awareness to create like a coherent sense of self. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I can put a little like teaser in that I want to dive into all of that content with you that I think would bring in so much rich material in conjunction with all of the AEDP knowledge you just talked about, and almost weaving the two different modalities or school of thought together in another episode. And wondering if that feels okay for you, and that if others are interested about like what does that mean? What is the process of individuation? We can talk about that more in depth on another day.
Yeah, I just got shivers up my spine. So that sounds like something I would love to do with you. Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you. I think leaving this episode on that really beautiful invitation towards tuning into their own unique calling for wholeness feels inspiring and good. For those interested in maybe learning more about AEDP or finding an AEDP therapist, where would you direct them to look?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, to go full circle with this conversation, I would really encourage anyone who's listening who feels inspired by this to listen to the podcast Other People's Problems with Hillary McBride, because it is recorded therapy sessions, which people don't usually have access to that material. Yeah. And so it is a real life, real time sort of example of this process. So that would be absolutely something to hold as a resource. The AEDP Institute, the website, is amazing. There is articles and trainings. There's also a reservoir of AEDP therapists if you're looking to get in touch with somebody. And even if you're just curious about how it works, I would encourage anyone to just check the website out, because there's so much rich information hosted there.
Thank you. We'll leave some of that in the show notes for people to click and find easily accessible. And how do people find you? I have zero doubt that after listening to you share what you know and get to experience some of the essence of who you are as a person, that they will want to be rushing to follow your handles. How do people find you?
Yeah. So I think the best place to get in touch with me is through my website. It's just zaranewcomb.com. And I'm not on social media professionally yet. I don't know. It might be something that 2024 births, but my website is the best place to reach me.
That will be in show notes as well.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, Zara, thank you so much. I feel like a rejuvenation of all that gratitude I was talking about at the beginning, but on the other end of listening to what you brought here for people to get to encounter, I'm just feeling so grateful for the work you do, the wisdom that you hold, and the way you're able to share it. So thank you so much for your time and being here today.
Oh, Rachel, thank you so much. Thanks for that acknowledgement. And yeah, it's such a gift to be here with you too.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
As we come to the end of this episode, I want to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude to you, our wonderful listeners. It feels like a profound privilege to take up space in your awareness. Your support means the world to us, and it's because of your curiosity and openness that this podcast is possible. A big thank you to our guests for sharing their wisdom and insights with us all today. If their words resonated with you, I encourage you to look them up on social media or find their website. I also want to extend my gratitude to Jonathan Kiddo for his unwavering support and dedication to producing this podcast. And to all of you tuning in, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, please consider leaving a rating or review. It truly helps in this podcast world. Remember, the journey of deconstruction doesn't end here. Stay curious, stay connected, and join us next time for another episode of Deconstruction.